Welcome to the Fire and Earth Podcast with your hosts, Jason Mefford and Kathy Gruber. Fire and Earth, giving you the keys to unlock your limitless potential.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Fire and Earth Podcast. I am your co-host, Kathy Gruber.
And I'm Jason Mefford. And today we get to talk to Reagan Myers. Now, I'm not sure if any of you have ever worked in work environments where there was some conflict, but we're going to talk about that today because Reagan is an expert on that. So Reagan, maybe just kind of start us off. Let us know a little bit more about yourself so that the listeners can get to know you better.
Absolutely. My name is Reagan Myers, and I'm the Tourism and Events Coordinator for the City of Long Beach, Washington. And I've had that job for 15 years. And well, working in city government can be a challenge. but we learn to kind of maybe straddle those hurdles and take them one step at a time.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Long Beach. I'm Long Beach, California, but you're Long Beach, Washington.
I have family in California, so we just go from Long Beach to Long Beach for vacation.
There you go.
Is it like on the clue board where, like, if you go into the kitchen, it automatically transports you to the other side? There's, like, a special Long Beach, like, tunnel that...
Yeah, it's okay, cool. A vibe.
Yeah, cool. No, I mean, and Jason, we were talking off air, you know, one of the reasons that Jason and I are entrepreneurs is we didn't want to be dealing with bosses. We didn't want to be dealing with coworkers other than those that we brought in our own space. Yeah. So it's not uncommon to have conflict, to have different personalities mesh. So we're going to talk about that today and give our listeners some usable tools and things that they can think about and do to help quell that, storm a little bit. So Reagan, jump in, give us an example of maybe something that happened and how we can solve that problem.
Well, let's see. Currently, it's an election year, so we're going through budgets, and that can be a challenge. I mean, budgets are kind of tricky to begin with, and when you get the political element, you sometimes have to maybe think outside the box or work with people a little closer. I don't want to say keep your friends close and your enemies closer, but just maybe know how to play the game and not take it so personal. I'm a very passionate person, and so I take a lot of what I'm working on to heart, and so I just have to remember that during these times, during the fall season, we just have to know who our friends are and who isn't, and see what we can do to maybe cast the net a little farther and get more reach, I guess, for what we're looking at. We both want the same thing, and that's that golden ticket of money. So now we just have to figure out how cooperatively we can figure out how to play nice with our neighbors.
Yeah. Well, I think you bring up a couple of points there, right? Because, I mean, ultimately we want the listeners to walk away with some little tips or things that they can help themselves with, right?
Right.
I mean, I think you've already said one, don't take it personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's really easy for us as humans, because humans are emotional people, you know, and what we think and what we feel, it's easy for us to take things personal. So you said don't take it personal, but I also heard you say about it's a game. So I think, again, we need to kind of keep that in perspective, right? I mean, to understand it's a game. So if we know it's a game, I mean, we were just joking about Clue, right?
Right.
If you're playing Clue or you're playing Monopoly or whatever, pick your game, right? Yes. There's kind of rules to the game, right? And if you don't follow the rules, you're going to be successful?
Right. You want to own Park Place and Boardwalk. You want but at the same time, you know that somebody else bidding for that position or that piece of the pie, you know, how can we figure out how to work cooperatively in the end? Yeah.
Right. That's a good point too. But thinking about it as a game, and I love that analogy because we take these things so seriously and we put such a weight on things like negotiation and budget and getting along with people. And if we can reframe that, to throw a little neurolinguistic programming in that, reframe that as a game and look at it as lighthearted and fun and strategic, because you know, as you're moving around that Monopoly board, or I don't know how strategic Clue is, but it actually is, because you want to get in rooms you've not been to yet. I mean, you think a couple steps ahead, and in communication and in negotiations, I think that's really important. It's that chess match. Let's see how many games we can throw in this episode. No animals today, just games. No.
Elephant.
Oh, no, you ruined it, Jason. Think a couple moves ahead, and not in a sort of like sleazy strategic way, but in a really shifting your perspective to, this is a lighthearted thing, and you're right, we both want the same outcome, or all of us want the same outcome.
Right.
How can we work together to get that? So that's a really good point. So not taking things personally, which so many people do, and unfortunately it tends to be women I see that take things more personally in the workplace than men.
Yeah.
So let's stop. Jason, are you one of those people that take things personally?
No, well, it's funny, you know, because you bring that up. It reminded me of a story that my mother told, right? Because she was in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I remember her coming home one day, and she was kind of a little bit miffed because there was some stuff that had gone on in the office, right? The typical office politics, right? And so a few of the women had gotten a little catty with each other and everything else. And she was observing, they were in this meeting. Right. And it was like, you know, mixed men and women, and things got a little tense. Right. And so there was maybe some elevated voices and other things like that. Right. During the meeting. So the meeting ends and everybody starts to leave, and the guys kind of like high five each other, and they're like, all right, let's go grab lunch. You know, and the women were like, still going at each other, you know, and she's like, it's weird that men just like compartmentalize some of the stuff. And again, it's kind of a generality, but. Yeah.
Well, and I think for me, you know, if we want to use the game analogy, but as far as I know, Kathy works, you know, with like the counseling and mental health. And if I look at it like, this isn't about me, this is, I'm going after a pot of money for the bigger picture. And that is, what are our visitors going to see? What are they going to experience? Mm-hmm. What do I want them to take back? Because they're our brand ambassadors for, you know, bringing new customers to our area. So I have to look at it like, it isn't this entity fighting over this entity. It's, we need to come together for the common good with all, you know, all aspects of the pie, so that, like I said, we can throw our net farther and get a bigger reach. And so I think if we, you know, can put the best interest of our you know, people buying our product, the people coming and visiting our area, then wow, I really feel like I've done a good job. And I think that has helped me in the 15 years here at the city. And that is looking at what I'm doing, what events I'm putting together, what, you know, festivals and things that we're putting on, how is that going to affect our consumer and those that are coming? Are they going to go and say, oh my gosh, Long Beach is so awesome, we need to come back and we need to tell 10 of our friends. And that's how we build that revenue over time, is I guess I use the heart and the relationship element to do my city government business. Mm-hmm. It's the relationships that matter for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about keeping your friends close, your enemies close. You know, it is about building those relationships, and it's about strategically thinking about who can get me to that next piece, because there's never just one route to these things. So it's taking advantage of those relationships and going to Bob on this end and Carol on this end and Jack on this end. And but you also said something that's really cool, which is that shifting perspective. It's not about first person, which is I. It's about second and third person, which is looking at it, stepping back and looking at it as this whole other entity of how can we work together, as opposed to, well, I want this. And I think one of the other things that typically goes awry in negotiations, and I've never really been in a job that has that. I mean, I've never been in that position where I need to do negotiations or contracts or that stuff. But in coaching people that do, they feel so strongly they have to get their way to work. And it's like, well, sometimes your way isn't the best way. And if you can step back and again, not take it personally and say, oh, well, you know, Jason, that actually was a better idea. Let's go with that. As opposed to strong arming and making sure you're the one that has to be right. What is the saying? Do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? I mean, we can fight till we're blue in the face. And it takes that big person to step back, look at everyone else's perspective and say, wow, you know what? Actually, that is a better idea. Let's go with that. It's a skill that I think some people shoot out of the womb with, but we can all learn to hear another's perspective, take your own ego out of it and say, yes, let's do that.
Well, I'm still learning it. You
know, we're all still learning it, right? But as both of you were talking too, another kind of phrase, you know, that we hear kind of popped into my head too, because, you know, when you think about the perspective and the longer term goal, right? I mean, you're talking again about brand ambassadorship for the city, you know, the long-term relationship with people. That I think, again, we have to keep that perspective and realize this is a long-term game. And that means it's okay to lose some battles to win the war.
Yeah.
And so, right, kind of that goes back to Kathy, what you're talking about, right, is some people feel like they have to win all the time. And so they will just fight and fight and fight. And again, it's part of negotiation in general. Both sides have to kind of give up some stuff or find a win-win solution maybe that nobody's really thought about. But it means not everybody's going to get exactly what they want all the time. And right. So you do have to give up a little bit. And maybe, you know, lose some of those little battles, because in the long term, you're gonna win the bigger goal. And politics, government, that's like, woo, right? I mean, that's
it's
the whole
hot
thing.
Feet. Yep. Yeah. It's constantly walking across those coals.
Uh-huh. I was coaching a woman who, she worked for some sort of same thing. It was a big corporation. And the boss's son was her boss. And she loved her job and she loved her coworkers, but this boss's son was a spoiled, arrogant, rude, never listened, ordered her about. He had conflict with everybody. And I said, okay, well, is he like kind of dad's little boy? And she goes, oh yeah, he's totally under his father's thumb. And I said, wow, how scary and sad for him. And she looked at me and she said, what? And I said, can you imagine how hard it is for this kid to try to get his father's approval, to try to live up to his dad, to try to please his father? Can you imagine how that feels to him? She kind of looked at me and I said, so in a way we could kind of have compassion for him, right? Because he's trying to step on everybody else to please his dad. And she kind of looked at me and she goes, well, yeah. I said, can you read anybody's mind? She said, well, no. And I said, okay, so we can make up any story we want to. I mean, we make up stories about why people act the way they do all the time anyway. I said, right. So can you shift your perspective so that you actually have some sympathy and empathy for this guy and what he's trying to do to win his father's approval and how hard it would be to be the son of this mega billionaire corporation owner? And she kind of paused and she goes, I feel really sorry for this guy. And I said, yeah. So in the way, if you can have compassion for him, you'll understand where he's coming from. You're not going to be as reactive and you're going to be able to interact with him better now that you have compassion and sympathy for what he's dealing with. And her attitude about him and her workplace completely shifted. And I think so often we forget to do that. We forget to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and say, what must they be going through that
Absolutely.
They act that way?
Absolutely.
So that's another one of those things. So, okay. So we talked about negotiation. We talked about politics. Putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. What are some of the other issues that you've run into, Reagan, and trying to deal with not only the public, but also these bosses and coworkers?
I would say just the small town. I mean, the difference between you guys living in Long Beach, California, where you can walk down the sidewalk and not have to wave at every other person. It took the village to raise the child. My parents have had a business on Main Street for 45 years, and my dad was mayor for 8 years, 3 years after I started. And I was having people say, oh, well, you just got that job because your dad was the mayor. I couldn't prove to them that even though I'd been here for 3 years, that it's harder to work for him because my dad expects more. Like he was like, you know, yeah, I expect that you're going to be that employee toeing the line and doing the job. So I think demographics that has a lot to do with, you know, your situation and your environment and how you handle things, because boy, there's only 1,500 people in my community, and I do walk down the street and every other person is wanting to be acknowledged that they see you. And sometimes that's a challenge in itself because you just want to be invisible and blend in. So I think environment and, you know, the population of where you're at can be a challenge as well.
Yeah, no, you bring up a great point. I mean, yeah, because, you know, I mean, Long Beach has over 500,000 people in it. But I mean, in the LA metro area, there's almost 20 million people, right? So you can just like totally blend in and nobody actually knows that you're here. Excuse me, but I grew up in a town of about 2,000 people.
So you get it.
I get it. I mean, it's like there was an old joke, you know, because our family was fairly new to the community. You know, in relative terms, right? But it's like, like you always had to be careful about what you said because everybody was somebody else's cousin or related in some way, right?
Absolutely.
And so you do have to be, And a lot of those family feuds or other things like that last for sometimes generations.
Oh, right? And they are, and we see it. Yeah. And how do you help them when, you know, there's a multitude of generational things, especially when it's in the tourism industry? It's like, I sometimes don't want to step in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough. And it does raise the point of, now I grew up in Pittsburgh where it was much bigger. And then I was in LA, which is much, 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 much bigger. And even here in Santa Barbara, but there is that, you know, 5 degrees of separation of everybody. And so this is where office gossip and talking about other people and bad mouthing other people can really get you into trouble, because I just was betrayed recently by someone that I thought was my friend, and I shared something with her and she went right to the person that I wasn't saying anything bad. I was actually saying something good, but it went right back to that person. And I literally out loud went, this is why I don't trust people, because she couldn't keep that thing a secret, even though she went, oh, I would never tell. Yeah. When I was living in Los Angeles, huge city, what are the chances you're going to keep, you know, my very first job in LA, I worked at IHOP in Van Nuys. I do not recommend this job. I was on morning shift, so I had to be there at like 4 a.m. It was the worst job ever. If I got like a buck tip off a table of 20 people, I was like, yay. But I was late for work because I had to be there at like 5 frickin' o'clock in the morning. I was late for work. I had to turn, the light turned green. There was a guy in the crosswalk. I'm like, screw this guy. And I almost ran him over trying to get to my job. 10 minutes later, guess who was at my table? That guy I almost ran down. And he looked at me and he goes, didn't you just try to kill me in the crosswalk? And I was like, oh God, of all the people, like what are the chances in a giant city like Los Angeles? But it does illustrate that point of be careful what you're saying about who. And this is the, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all kind of thing comes in. Because even I have been in offices where the office gossip and the infighting and the really, really, really can get you into trouble. So the other takeaway tip is shut up. Like, just don't.
Well, shut up. You know, don't say things that we don't just go rattling off, right? But I think, again, whether you're in a town of, you know, 1,500 people or you're in a town of 5 million people, you know, that we need to show up every day.
Yeah.
And be us, right? Be authentically us. You know, obviously think about what we say, but also, I mean, you know, the more honest that we are, you know, we never have to worry about covering up or anything else that kind of goes along as well. Right. And I think it's, you know, if we put it back into that perspective and kind of bring the game back into it, right. Is it's like, you know, a lot of times we can get our feelings hurt pretty easily.
Yeah.
Right. But if we're sitting down at a table and we're playing a game with other people and, you know, Reagan, you buy Boardwalk and it's like, damn it, you know, I wanted Boardwalk. Am I going to sit there and go, well, Reagan bought that from me because she hates me and she thinks I'm horrible and she's blah, 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 blah. We wouldn't do that in a board game, but we tend to do that in life in general.
Uh-huh.
Because of some of those stories that we're telling ourselves. The nice thing is we get to choose the stories we tell, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, again, it's like when you're dealing with people in the government, you know, and you said, you know, it's an election year. So obviously you've got people that have certain agendas that are maybe trying to get.
Absolutely.
You know, does that help you, I guess, to kind of understand probably maybe the story or where they're coming from, kind of like that compassion that Kathy talked about before on why somebody might do something?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. Knowing the players and knowing the game sometimes. It's definitely something I'm going to have to say, okay, why are we taking this approach, I guess? And I had to do this a couple years ago with a writer at the newspaper. Oh, I did not like her. And one of the, you know, records requests and my department and just stirring something that wasn't there. And one of the ladies in the office says, you know, she's just doing her job. So you hate her, but do you hate her because she's doing her job? Or do you hate her because you literally genuinely don't like that person? Uh-huh. And I had to think about that and say, you know, I guess I just generally, I don't like her as her position because I don't know her in her outside of that life. So yeah, I guess kind of taking a step back and saying, which person is it that I like? You know, am I not liking the person that's doing their job, or am I not liking genuinely that person, and figure out how I can like that person to the best of my ability to work with me and not against me.
Yeah. Well, it has to have that adaptability. So we are good, no matter what job you're in. And even Jason and I sitting in our offices by ourselves, we're still on the phone. We're still doing client calls. We're still going in and doing our coaching and our talks. And we are going to be working with people that we don't necessarily like or jive with. It's about that adaptability. And that I always bring up NLP, the neuro-linguistic programming. That's one of the things it teaches, is that adaptability to different personality types and how you can change and morph yourself to deal with different populations, different ages. Heck, I feel like I'm pretty flexible when it comes to dealing with different people. I can sit at the table with the men and tell the dirty jokes and laugh and jar and do that whole like sort of chaotic like boom, 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 boom thing. Or I can sit at the table with the women, where I was at an event in San Francisco and the breakfast was sort of a schmooze time. So you'd grab your breakfast, you'd pick a table and you just sort of talk with everybody. And I ended up picking the table with the women, which was hilarious because they systematically went around the table and said, hi. They did their elevator pitch. We all, like, you know, very calmly exchanged business cards. And I kind of sat there being, you know, a very nice little woman. And then I look over at the guys and they're like, blah, 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 blah. I mean, they were like joking around and smacking each other on the back. I mean, it was so chaotic at their table and so structured. And why don't we all go around and tell everybody who we are and what we do? And we're like, okay, we have 2 minutes. And, you know, it would be just hilarious to see the different genders and how they handled the schmoozing time. And frankly, I would have been more comfortable over with the men. I honestly would have.
I was just thinking the same thing. How do I go to that table? Because that's fun. I'm fun.
Right. And they made their networking fun, and they probably got just as much work done, if not more, than the women who very calmly handed out business cards. So you have to find that place of adaptability of stepping into those different populations. I can talk to the 25-year-olds the same way I can talk to the 60-year-olds. And I think we have to change ourselves. We can't expect everybody else to adapt to us. We're the ones with this inside knowledge that we have the ability to adapt. So let's step into those different populations and morph ourselves, not in a fake way, not in a manipulative way, but how can you bring out different aspects of your personality? If you're an introvert, how do you bring out Ellie extrovert so that you can go talk with the men? How can you, as an introvert, you know, step out of yourself a little bit, or as an extrovert, turn yourself down? Because had I been my big personality, I probably would have scared the crap out of half those women. So I've seen it happen where I'm like, and they're all kind of going, she scares me. And you can see them getting like smaller and further away from me. And I'm like, sorry, I was a little big there. But it is about that adaptability. And oh my gosh, we covered so many things. And once again, of course, we're nearing our time. We do this. We have to start doing 5-hour shows. That's it. That's what we're going to do. And we don't have nearly enough game references. So Jason, throw some more game references in for us.
Taboo. Jenga. Oh, Jenga's a good one.
You're constantly that next move. You don't want to wiggle the stack. You don't want to knock it down. So you just have to strategically pull out those plugs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's also Tetris. You have to figure out what brick can fit into which open space. And that can bring us to hiring, which we just had a conversation with a gentleman talking about hiring and recruiting. So we actually did, I think, use the Tetris metaphor with him. All right, Jason, you want to bring us home?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, again, you know, we're talking about kind of work environments and some of the conflict that we end up having. And I mean, it's just life, right? I mean, so again, if we just kind of quick recap, right? Think of it as a game. Don't take it personal. Right. You know, try to think about it from the other person's perspective as well. Right. I mean, the more we get to know other people or maybe understand some of their motives and their experience, it'll help us to better understand maybe why they're acting that way. And again, you know, that it's they're doing it probably for some other reason. It's not because they hate us. It's not because, you know, we have no self-worth. It's just that's the way they're programmed, or that's what they're used to. Right. Treat it like a game, take it a little bit more lighthearted, right? And again, I mean, you know, like Reagan, like you said, I mean, election year, it's going to be a little bit more stressful for you this year. Mm-hmm. Next year,
absolutely,
probably going to be a little less, right? Because you don't have some of those other things that are getting thrown in here. So
Yeah, absolutely. And working on being adaptable, adapting yourself to different personalities, to different populations. You probably have a very different persona when you're dealing with the public than when you're dealing with your board staff. Director and your, yes. and your inner yeah. staff. So
yeah,
you have to be absolutely. Adaptable to that. So Regan, any final last words? And then if people want to contact you, how can they reach out?
They can reach out by emailing me at rmyers, that's M-Y-E-R-S, at longbeachwa.gov. Yay. I'll be happy to answer any questions that they have. Don't take it personally. Enjoy the game and just, I guess, be a chameleon. Just kind of mm-hmm. go with the flow and whatever color is available, just run with it.
Nice. I'm going to go with orange.
I like orange too.
Oh, good. Yeah, yeah, we all like
What's
orange.
Your favorite cool. color orange too, Regan?
Well, I'm a ginger, so, you know,
oh, there you
I
go.
Guess,
all right.
You know, orange is there.
We all like orange.
Yeah, yay. Look how we came together on that. Okay, good. Well, actually, and as silly as that was kind of, we have to find those commonalities. So if it's just as small as we all like orange, then we made some headway in our negotiation. Good. Well, we'll table this discussion. We'll put a pin in that. All those Perfect. Terms that I can't stand. We'll revisit
Robert's Rules of Order. You know,
okay. We'll revisit this later. Right. Yeah. I move that we adjourn this meeting. Do I have a
so
second?
Moved.
No, thank you. Thank you. I moved to. Okay, great. We've got
seconded. All in favor.
Oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay, good.
Aye.
Excellent. This has been another phenomenal show. I'm Kathy Groover, and I can be reached at kathygroover.com.
And I'm Jason Mefford. I can be reached at jasonmefford.com. So go out, unlock your limitless potential, and we'll see you on a future episode of the Fire and Earth podcast.
Bye. See ya. Bye.